I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still here with Catherine Ryan. Catherine, also, I want to say my pleasure over lockdown. When I was in quarantine was, I've just totally gone black. What show you do with Jimmy Carr and...
Oh, we do a show called Your Face or Mine, where
Your
you
face
rate
or mine.
Each other's looks.
Yeah. Oh my God. When you get celebrities on it, it's the funniest thing I've seen. And you had Spencer Matthews and Vogue on it. And I saw it when I was quarantined. And it was genius because Spencer obviously... hated the fact that he was being made fun of the entire time. Aww. But I don't understand how you guys don't get so awkward when you do it. That's what I don't get.
Well, I feel like when you hear the tagline of Your Face or Mine, it's where couples come on to rate each other's looks so they can either lie and save the relationship or win money because their answer has to match with the audience. So it's very difficult to lie and say, so-and-so is better looking than my girlfriend. You know, you have to be honest. That sounds mean, but I think the heart of the show is some people come on, they think they're better looking than they are. And if they have a bad personality, you wouldn't believe how the audience votes them down. And your personality can make you better looking or less attractive. And I think that's why we don't get uncomfortable because we feel that it is a very worthy show. And we also feel that if we break you up on Your Face or Mine, which is the aim, then you're never really going to make it anyway.
But do you know what's funny is that in the US, so the US do the roasting, right? So they do the roast battle of whoever. That's what happens. And in the UK, we don't have it because for some reason we find it too awkward. It doesn't quite work over
we
the UK.
We have it. And I thought you were going to come on Roast Battle UK.
Oh, no, then... that roast battle we have where you can roast it between comedians, but it's where you have like the roasting of Donald Trump or the roasting of Justin Bieber or the roasting of, you know, that one where they sit and they roast.
So what were they doing to you?
Oh, we did the roast battle. I came on it. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done. And Catherine was the judge on it. And I was like, oh, God, this is just horrendous, the whole thing. It's horrible doing that show. Because also, being not a comedian, you're like, well, what do you say? And as I told you this before, Francis, I did against Ivo Graham. He came on. He was doing like a whole story. And then at the end, there was a joke.
You've got to know not to do it against Ivo. Ivo's just too good at it. It's a skill. It's fine. It doesn't mean that you're not funny.
Not funny like that. I just did one-liners. I thought it was like, hey, I thought you had to be like, hey, Francis, you're ginger, and you look like Ron Weasley. Ha 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 ha. It's not. You have to do sort of, you have to do like a whole routine, and I just didn't realize
this. You'd think that type of thing would just kill.
Yeah, I thought... Listen, I've got loads of those type of things. But that one, so Rose Petal's fine because it's between comedians and stuff like that. So I think that's okay. For some reason, being British, we find it hard to be mean about someone unless they're kind of being mean back.
Unless they're disagreeing with you on Brexit.
Yeah, but also with your face or mine, for some reason, it's acceptable, as you say, because it's more about their personality, as you said. So if their personality is nice, then they go, okay, actually, we like you.
Yeah.
And we don't care so much. But in the US, they don't really care about that. They're mean and it works and it's funny and it's not awkward. I think that's kind of right? But also with...
Well, they take themselves less seriously, I think, in the States and Canada. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't know. I think
I would say.
Do you think
so.
As Brits we take it seriously? I don't think we take
ourselves seriously. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I lived in the States for a long time. People
don't.
But
until you were like 8 years old.
No, until I was 14.
Oh, okay, and so that's where you get your relaxed attitude from. I don't know, Captain. What do you think? Do you think the Brits are relaxed or no?
I definitely think that the Brits naturally take the mick out of each other anyway, and have a very caustic sense of humor. I've always thought Brits are very funny and really good at making fun of each other in a friendly manner. And I think it just depends, I suppose. On the American roast, that celebrity is usually so high status already that they can take the jokes, and then they do get the final word. And it can be a moment of redemption when Justin Bieber delivered his final address. Yeah. Everyone really forgave him for a lot of his adolescent behavior, and everybody thought he was really funny and they really liked him. So I think it's a positive show for everyone. I think it's very likable to be able to laugh at yourself. And I know that Jimmy Carr, I believe, tried the celebrity roast over here.
Yeah, he did.
But I mean, I don't know. Perhaps at that time we didn't have enough very established comedians willing to participate, or maybe that celebrity took themselves very seriously. But I'm sure there are celebrities.
Something like that. But okay, also, this is a question. Before you got married to Bobby, who did you prefer dating? Canadians or British people?
Oh, Canadians.
Really? Well, yeah. I think British people are, like, really fun to date. I thought, like, the Brits are known to be quite, like, fun and silly and things like that, no?
I mean, maybe if you have a healthy self-esteem and you choose well and your dad was always nice to you, then you get with a nice British person. But I didn't.
Was your
do
dad, because your dad's Irish.
Did you? So
do you obviously have a sort of affection for the Irish?
I mean, I've never dated an Irish man. That's the only lesson my father ever told me.
Did he tell you that, or was it his actions that made you think that?
A little bit of both. My dad softened with age. We're really good friends now, but he used to be pretty intense. No, I happened to choose, I think, the worst British man on the whole island somehow. So you're welcome. took them out of public circulation for a while.
Sounds like you murdered them.
Yeah. Why did you bury them?
I wish.
Okay, but also, Catherine, you have to be congratulated because you're now Netflix famous.
Well, yeah, Netflix only has a few programs on there, so everyone's definitely watched mine.
Yeah, but you are. You're Netflix famous. You're on a panel show.
Yeah.
You then have your own show. You now got this new show coming out. So can you tell us what the new show is about? You're not allowed to.
I am, I think. I'm not probably allowed to say exactly when it comes out, but it's called The Duchess, and it is a comedy sitcom that is not dramatic. I am so inspired by so many dramatic sitcoms that I'm seeing right now, but I'm just not that way. I wanted to make something that was very Eastbound and Down, ballsy, just a funny sitcom about a very fashionable mother in London who is a good mother but a bad person. Because I don't know. I'm tired of seeing so many likable women. So this woman is a real prick. And she just runs around London being a prick. But she's a really good mom. So I think that's her redeeming quality.
So it redeems it because she's a good mom. So therefore, it's okay because then she can be a dick to everyone. Because that's
I guess
right.
Sometimes you could say that sometimes being a bad person makes you a good mother in certain scenarios, right?
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, I'm a pretty bad person, but I've always been a very good mom. I always, always put my own evil pursuits to one side to make sure that every decision I make for my daughter's sake is a benevolent one.
Better than being a good person and a really bad mother. That's not
the... Yeah, that also doesn't really work.
I'm a great person. I help out everyone, but I really neglect my child.
Listen, I used to see a bunch of those moms at the school gates, real holier than them, you know, doing yoga, helping out with all the cake sales, really involved. But somehow they had shit kids.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's not that hard to be a decent fucking mom. Like, what are you doing?
Have you ever said that to one of the parents? By the way, your kid's shit. Be a better parent. Have you ever had parent arguments or anything like that?
I don't find that North London mothers will argue. They're very skilled at being passive aggressive, you know, just commenting that you haven't been very active in the PTA and...
What? There's no PTA. Is there actually a PTA where you have to kind of go there and like help out and bake cakes and do these kind of things?
Yes, and I am not that mom, so I was
because you're a bad mom. Just neglecting your child. You're not going to go to that because I can't be bothered.
So. Right. Yeah. See, the character is a bad person and a good mom. I'm a bad person and a bad mom.
But wait, hang on. So, because I dated a North London girl and her mom was pretty punchy. So I feel like, yeah, so I feel like some North London girls, their mums are pretty scary and they tell you what's what. They don't take any shit whatsoever. Okay. So I imagine when you roll up to the gates and you haven't done anything, yeah, they will be super passive aggressive. Why the fuck haven't you made those brownies?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
But wait, so when you get a call from, when you get an email from Netflix, how does it happen? Because I'm waiting one day for that email. Do they call you? Do they email you? Do they say, hey, we want to make a Netflix show? Is this what happens?
No. When I
that
sold
doesn't
my...
happen that
hey,
way.
Jamie, we saw you at the Comedy Store and we really... Yeah. We liked what we saw. We think we could work with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. No, you have to build towards it and things like that. Because I thought like Netflix is like one of the ultimates, right?
Yeah, they're great. I really love them. What I did for my sitcom was I wrote it. And then with my American manager, we went all around and pitched it to loads of different networks, channels in the UK. I don't think it's the same culture in the UK. I think you develop something start to finish with a channel. But in the US, you can write something and show it to all the channels and see who likes it best. And then I think they all put forward their interest or lack thereof. And I had a few channels who were interested in my scripts. And I loved the people at Netflix, the comedy team, and they had already been so good to me with my two stand-up specials and The Fix. And so I wanted to make it with them, and we just did the deal that way. I went to them and had to sort of sing for my supper type of thing and be like, please, do you want to make this?
I remember I came up with this, I came up with a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was called, it's actually a really great idea. I've pitched it loads and no one in the UK wanted it, but it was called Airheads. Mm-hmm. So, and basically, hey, I'm an air, people are airs. And you go around and find different airs, and it's Airheads. This was the idea behind the show, so anyone else can steal it. But I went to, I was like, great, this is the idea. So I went to the US and I pitched it to E Network and lots of different people like this. And I sat in the room with E, and they were literally like, oh my God, here we go. We love your idea. This is great. This sounds really fun, but we kind of want to change the title to Billionaires. And I was like, okay. And I was like, all right. And they're like, because obviously you're a billionaire. And in my head, I was like, I'm not. So I don't understand whether I'm not a billionaire. But I was like to them, yeah, totally. That's fine. Let's call it Billionaires. And then they greenlit it. And obviously, very quickly, what they found out that I wasn't a billionaire and I didn't know any billionaires. And so we couldn't make this TV show. But you're right that you go there and you pitch these shows to them and they suddenly go, right, here we go. Let's go and make it. And also the great thing about the US is that their budgets and things are so much greater. So you just they kind of just make stuff when the UK that doesn't happen as much.
Well, they have so many people.
Huge market.
There watching.
It's just a much, much bigger market. So there's more money.
Yeah, I think so. Do you think you will always remain in the UK now? Do you think you'll go back to Canada at some point?
I do. I mean, never say never, but I love the school that my daughter goes to now. I love that my daughter's British. I just think.
Is she British?
Yeah, she was born here.
So she has a British accent.
Yes. People who are born here, Jamie, have British accents.
Do they? What?
Yeah.
Okay. Did not know that.
And I think the comedy circuit has been so good to me. I don't think that a comedian, I'm sorry, I could be wrong, but it doesn't look like a comedian can survive in Canada, unfortunately.
At least not a full-time comedian as that their main job, I imagine. Unless they, I guess, go to America and make it there. But that's not in Canada, is it?
but because this is doing a full circle, because there's not enough work in Canada, that's what happens. There just isn't enough.
I think people, and again, I'm commenting on an industry that I'm not a part of, but I feel like I remember people going to hockey games, going to basketball games, but mostly staying at home and doing barbecues, and they don't patronize live music, theater, art to the extent of, you know, the pub culture in the UK.
Yeah.
There were, before pre-COVID, so many gigs every night of the week in the UK, and that's the whole reason that I was able to become a comedian. I do love it here. I love it. And sometimes I travel for work. When we were filming The Fix, we filmed that in America, and I lived there for a summer. But I think I will always come back here.
Yeah, but also, you I don't understand how you find your time. Do you still gig? Because how do you find the time to do your gigging and things like that? Because you're doing different TV shows all the time. You're doing Netflix shows. When do you get that time to do it?
I haven't gigged in a while. And then obviously everything shut down. But I am writing a new show to tour. And I think there are loads of new material nights when your tour show is getting ready. You do those. You have an off season and an on season. I just did The Duchess. So I had an off season. But now I'm going to have to go into little clubs, try that material wherever, whenever I can. It only takes an hour, so you squeeze it in. And then I'll do a tour when I'm allowed. And then you gig all around the country if you're lucky, and that's how you do it.
So when do you think comedy clubs will open up in a way that, you know, makes it, like, worthwhile? Like, obviously, you can't do it to, like, an audience of 10. Well, I suppose you could, but like, I guess, someone should start a night where people say, look, I'm going to put my life on the line to save comedy and sit next to someone in a comedy club and laugh because I think comedy deserves to stay alive.
Well, they did that in America, and D.L. Hughley passed out on stage from COVID.
He passed out on stage from COVID on the same night?
No.
Yeah, there's a video.
Wait, hang on. So he went on stage, he had COVID, and he passed out on stage.
Yeah.
But he survived?
Yes, thankfully. I love DL. But there's a video and he was talking all about it online. And so all the people in that comedy club were at risk. So, I mean, you can't be lifting restrictions too soon.
Yeah, Francis's idea.
No, I mean, obviously, if they were complicit in saying, I'm willing to put my life on the line, for the relatively low risk.
Well, I don't know. They're doing driving gigs and they're doing some outdoor socially distancing gigs. And
well, I won't be going to them because I went to Ibiza for the weekend and then found out that on the weekend when I was there for 2 days that now I have to self-quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
Because I was there for like 2 days. I got the news and I was like, are you kidding me? I don't understand it.
So have people have been checking up on you?
Well, no one's checked up on me, but I think I can't leave the house because obviously...
What would happen if you left?
Well, I put other people at risk, so I just can't do it. That's what happens.
But if you got caught, would you be arrested?
I don't know what happens. Do you want me to test it? Shall I go outside and be like,
that's your idea. I'm not going to tell you to break the law.
Okay, listen, Francis, we need to have the answer to the question of the week, buddy, as well.
So do you remember what the question was, Jamie?
Yeah, it was a terrible question.
I think it was a great question.
Okay, what do you call the cross between a bison and a cow?
Yep, that was the question.
yeah. And what the answer is?
Your answer was a, what did you say?
Cowson.
I said a cowson.
Cowson, okay. And so the answer is actually a beefalo.
Oh!
Don't even say, oh, you were high, you were nowhere near there.
Yeah, but that's a good name.
It's a good name, beefalo. It's a good name for like a sort of steak restaurant. Beefalo's.
Are you sure it isn't bifalo?
No, it's beefalo. B-E-E-F-A-L-O.
Hey, Catherine, listen, we've taken up far too much of your time. I want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I also want you to tell Bobby that I love him, and I think he's one of the greatest humans I've ever met. We only spent a brief time together, but wow, his energy was just epic.
Do you know, he really liked you too. That's funny that you guys appreciated each other's energy.
I just appreciated him because he was just so honest and chilled, and I just loved that. I just loved the way he said, went, what do you do now? He goes, nothing. I can't work, so I didn't do anything. I was like, yes, Bobby. But listen, so when can we see The Duchess? When is that out?
I'm not sure. That comes out this year sometime.
Okay.
And I hope everybody likes it. It'll be on Netflix. And I'm sure when it comes out, I'll be really annoying talking about it everywhere.
Can't wait.
Yeah. And everyone's just going to think that you're a really bad person but a good mum after it. Is that what's going to happen?
And that is fine with me. They will be not wrong.
Is it autobiographical, the sitcom?
It isn't. It's fictional comedy. And I've learned how to protect everyone in my life by always writing fiction around me. But I try to get the core truth of me somewhere in there. And that's the challenge.
So just quickly before we go, what's the core truth in The Duchess?
It's about putting your children's interests first. And it's a show about a mother who is not overwhelmed by motherhood and who is not haggard. And I'm tired of seeing these women strung out on white wine on television. You can be a mother who's together and powerful and fashionable, and you can be fucked up in a different way.
There we go.
I agree.
Yeah, there we go. Catherine Ryan, thank you so much. Listen, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational. We never warn anyone about this.
Me?
Yeah, you have to say it's like inspirational.
Okay.
She just did, really.
But I didn't tear up for it, so she has to do it again.
All right. Never argue with an idiot. Otherwise, people won't know which one of you is the idiot.
It's true.
Killed it. Catherine, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.